Today we have some more actual history about traditional stories of giants who lived in North America. We will be reading some tales of the Miwok Indians of Northern California. These tell of rock giants who lived in caves and came out and ate people, particularly women. The Miwok tribe did not live too far from where the Northern Paiutes lived. This episode follows up our previous episode, where we read Sarah Winnemucca's account of the Paiute legend of the red-haired giant cannibals, who also lived in caves and also ate people. We will be reading from this book, The Dawn of the World, Myths and Tales of the Miwok Indians of California, collected and edited by C. Hart Merriam, and published in 1910. This book has many stories about the creation of the world and how all the animals came to exist. It is divided into one section called Ancient Myths and one called Present Day Myths. Each of these sections includes a story about the rock giants, although the giant is given a different name in each story. These are just stories, but for some reason the Miwok Indians pass them down for generations, and as you will see, these stories of the Miwok people bear some similarity to that told by Sarah Winnemucca, which occurred just east of the Miwok lands in California. Uwellen, the Rock Giant. There was a great giant who lived in the north. His name was Uwellen, and he was as big as a pine tree. When he saw the country full of people, he said they looked good to eat, and he came and carried them off and ate them. He could catch 10 men at a time and hold them between his fingers, and put more in a net on his back and carry them off. He would visit a village and, after eating all the people, would move on to another, going southward from his home in the north. When he had gone to the south end of the world, and had visited all the villages and eaten nearly all the people, not quite all, for a few had escaped, he turned back toward the north. He crossed the Wakalmutta Merced River at a narrow place in the canyon about 6 miles above Oplaw, Merced Falls, where his huge footprints may still be seen in the rocks, showing the exact place where he stepped, from Angesawapa on the south side to Hikana on the north side. When night came, he went into a cave in the side of a round-topped hill, over the ridge from Siwache, a little south of the present town of Coulterville. The people who escaped found his sleeping place in the cave, and shot their arrows at him, but were not able to hurt him, for he was a rock giant. When he awoke, he was hungry and took the trail to go hunting. Then the people said to Uchum the fly, "Go follow Uwellen, and when he is hot, bite him all over on his head, on his eyes and ears, and all over his body, everywhere, all the way down to the bottoms of his feet, and find out where he can be hurt." "All right," answered Uchum the fly, and he did as he was told. He followed Uwellen and bit him everywhere from the top of his head all the way down to his feet, without hurting him, till finally he bit him under the heel. This made Uwellen kick. Uchum waited, and when the giant had fallen asleep, bit him under the heel on the other foot, and he kicked again. Then Uchum told the people. When the people heard this, they took sharp sticks and long sharp splinters of stone, and set them up firmly in the trail, and hid nearby and watched. After a while, Uwellen came back and stepped on the sharp points till the bottoms of his feet were stuck full of them. This hurt him dreadfully, and he fell down and died. When he was dead, the people asked, "Now he is dead, what are we to do with him?" And they all answered that they did not know. But a wise man said, "We will pack wood and make a big fire and burn him." Then everyone said, "All right, let's burn him." And they brought a great quantity of dry wood and made a big fire and burned Uwellen the giant. When he began to burn, the wise man told everybody to watch closely, all the time to see if any part should fly off to live again, and particularly watch the whites of his eyes. So all the people watched closely all the time he was burning. His flesh did not fly off, his feet did not fly off, his hands did not fly off, but by and by the whites of his eyes flew off quickly, so quickly indeed that no one but Chick-Chick saw them go. Chick-Chick was a small bird whose eyes looked sore, but his sight was keen and quick. He was watching from a branch about 20 feet above the giant's head, and saw the whites of the eyes fly out. He saw them fly out and saw where they went, and quickly darted after them and brought them back and put them in the fire again, and put on more wood and burnt them until they were completely consumed. The people now made a hole and put Llewellyn's ashes in it, and piled rocks on the place and watched for 2 or 3 days. But Llewellyn was dead and never came out. Then the wise man asked each person what he would like to be, and called their names. Each answered what animal he would be, and forthwith turned into that animal, and has remained the same to this day. This was the beginning of the animals as they are now, the deer, the ground squirrel, the bear, and other furry animals, the blue jay, the quail, and other birds of all kinds, and snakes and frogs and the yellow jacket wasp, and so on. Before that, they were Hoyako, the first people. So that is the end of the ancient myth of the Miwok Indians about the stone giants called Llewellyn in this story. This story is told as a part of several creation myths that describe how the world came to be. The people in this story were called the First People, and they became the different animals of the forest after killing the giants. Now I'm going to read the more modern myth. These stories don't seem to have any connection to the creation of the world, and they seem even more similar to the Paiute legend of the cannibalistic people who lived in caves. We will read a few different short accounts of rock giants, each from a different subtribe of the Miwok people. Chehalemche, the rock giants of Calaveras County. The northern Miwok say, Chehalemche, the rock giant, carries on his back a big burden basket, Che Kala, which like himself is of rock. He lives in caves, of which there are two near Mountain Ranch or El Dorado in Calaveras County, one at Murphy's and one on Stanislaus River. Chehalemche comes out only at night and wanders about seeking Miwok or people to eat. He prefers women. Of these, he catches and carries off all he can find. Sometimes he makes a crying noise, hoo, 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 like a baby to lure them. If they come, he seizes them and tosses them into his big pack basket and carries them to his cave, where he eats them. In the basket is a long spike which pierces their bodies when they are thrown in, so they cannot escape. In his caves are the remains of his victims, horns of deer and bones of people and of different kinds of animals. Indians never throw their dead into caves. If they did, Chehalemche would get them. Any man who would put a dead person in a cave would be killed by the other Indians. And this is the story of Ule, the rock giant of the Chowchilla foothills. The southern Miwok say, far away in the west, in the place where the sun goes down, lived Ule, the rock giant. At night he used to come up into the foothills to catch people and eat them. Another story is of Lupu Oyes, the rock giant of Tamalpais. The Hukuiko of Nikeso and San Rafael say, a woman had a husband and 2 boy babies, twins. The woman's brother killed her husband, and the little boys did not know that they ever had a father. When they were big enough, they went off every day to play by a big rock in the woods. They went always to the same place. They liked this place and always went there. This was the very place where their father, when he was alive, used to go every day to sing, but the little boys did not know this, for they did not even know that they ever had a father. One day the boys heard somebody say, you come here every day just as your father used to. The voice came from the rock. It was the voice of Lupu Oyes, the rock giant. Then the boys knew they had a father. They went to the rock and saw long hairs sticking up. These hairs grew out of the nostrils of Lupu Oyes. The boys took hold of them and pulled them out. This made Lupu Oyes angry, and he took a long hook stick and tried to catch the boys to kill them. He was all rock except a place on his throat where he wore an abalone shell. The boys saw this and shot their arrows through it and killed him. When he died, he fell to pieces. The pieces were rocks and scattered over the ground. Inside, he was flesh like other people, but outside he was rock, except the place on his throat where the abalone shell was. The name Lupu Oyes means literally, the old man of rock, from Lupu rock and Oyes old man. There is also another footnote here that I will now read. Many human skulls and skeletons have been found in caves along the west slope of the Middle Sierra. The presence of human remains in these caves has been interpreted to mean that the Indians now living in the region practice cave burial, or did practice it until recent times. This is an error. The Indians of this region, the Miwok, burned their dead, and look with horror on the suggestion that they or their ancestors might ever have put their dead in caves. They ask, would you put your mother or your wife or your child or anyone you love in a cave to be eaten by a horrible giant? The idea is so abhorrent to them that the theory of cave burial must be abandoned as preposterous. The mythology of the Miwok does not admit of any migration, but describes the creation of the people in the area they still inhabit. This, in connection with the fact that these Indians speak a language wholly different from any known in any other part of the world, proves that they have occupied the lands they now occupy for a very long period, a period which in my judgment should be measured by thousands of years. This argues a great antiquity for the cave remains, for they must be those of a people who inhabited the region before the Miwok came, and this takes us back a very long way into the past. So those are the modern myths of the Miwok Indians, about the rock giants who lived in the mountains of California. As you can see from this map, Calaveras County is about 230 miles from Humboldt Lake, where many skeletons were found that support Sarah Winnemucca's story of the red-haired cannibals. So it certainly seems possible that there was a group of giants who were somehow related to the people that the Paiutes reportedly killed at Humboldt Lake. However, there are also some discrepancies between the two stories. In the Miwok story, there is no report of the giants having red hair, and they are also repeatedly referred to as rock giants, which was not a part of the Paiute story. The Miwok stories are also probably much older than the Paiute story, which took place just about 5 to 7 generations before Sarah Winnemucca reported it in 1883. For those interested in the broader setting of Miwok mythology, I will now read the preface and introduction of this book, written by the original author C. Hart Merriam in 1910. Merriam spent over 30 years working with and studying the various Indian tribes of California. Theodore Roosevelt once asked him to report on the conditions he saw when he visited Indian communities, and to comment on the government's relationship to them. The preface and introduction give a sense of how the stories of the rock giants fit into the broader mythology of the Miwok people. Preface. It is our custom to go abroad for the early beliefs of mankind, and to teach our children the mythologies of foreign lands, unmindful of the wealth and beauty of our American folk tales. The present collection invites attention to the unique and entertaining character of the myths of some of our California Indians. These tales were told me by the Indians of a single stock, the Miwon, the tribes of which are confined to Central California and have no known relatives in any part of the world. They have been little visited by ethnologists, and during the few years that have passed since the tales were collected, several of the tribes have become extinct. The myths are related by the old people after the first rains of the winter season, usually in the ceremonial roundhouse, and always at night by the dim light of a small flickering fire. They constitute the religious history of the tribe, and from time immemorial have been handed down by word of mouth. From generation to generation they have been repeated, without loss and without addition. The conceptions of the Indians concerning the forces of nature and the character and attributes of the early inhabitants of the earth differ so radically from our own that an explanation seems necessary. This is supplied by the introduction, which is intended to give the reader the viewpoint necessary for the full appreciation and enjoyment of the tales. C. Hart Merriam, Washington, D.C., January 1910. Introduction. The mythology of the Indians of California goes much farther back than our mythology. It goes back to the time of the first people, curious beings who inhabited the country for a long period before man was created. The myths of the Miwon tribes abound in magic, and many of them suggest a moral. They tell of the doings of the first people, of their search for fire, of their hunting exploits, of their adventures including battles with giants and miraculous escapes from death, of their personal attributes including selfish and jealousy and their consequences, of the creation of Indian people by a divinity called Coyote Man, and finally of the transformation of the first people into animals and other objects of nature. Some explain the origin of thunder, lightning, the rainbow, and other natural phenomena. Some tell of a flood, when only the tops of the highest mountains broke the waves. others of a cheerless period of cold and darkness before the acquisition of the coveted heat and light-giving substance, which finally was stolen and brought home to the people. The more important features of Miwon mythology may be summarized as follows. The existence of a first people, beings who differed materially from the present Indians, and who immediately before the present Indians were created, were transformed into animals, trees, rocks, and in some cases, into stars and other celestial bodies or forces, for even Sawine, the hail, and Nuka, the rain, were first people. The existence, in some cases pre-existence, of other divinities, notably Wekwek, the fountain, grandson and companion of Coyote Man, Moloch the Condor, father of Wekwek, and Petale the Lizard, who, according to several tribes, assisted Coyote Man in the creation of Indian people, the possession of supernatural powers or magic by Coyote Man, Wekwek, and others of the early divinities, enabling them to perform miracles, the prevalence of universal darkness which in the beginning overspread the world and continued for a very long period, the existence at a great distance of a primordial heat and light-giving substance, indifferently called fire, sun, or morning, for in the early myths these were considered identical or at least incontrovertible. The presence of a keeper or guardian of the fire, it being foreseen by its first possessors that because of its priceless value, efforts would be made to steal it. The theft of fire, which in all cases was stolen from people or divinities living at a great distance. The preservation of the stolen fire by implanting it in the Unu, or buckeye tree, where it was and still is accessible to all. The power of certain personages or divinities, as Kalok the North Giant, Sate the Weasel Man, and Owato the Big-Headed Lizard, to use fire as a weapon by sending it to pursue and overwhelm their enemies. The conception of the sky as a dome-shaped canopy resting on the earth and perforated on the sides corresponding to the cardinal points, with four holes which are continually opening and closing, a fifth hole in the center of the sky, directly overhead, is spoken of by some tribes. The existence at or near the north hole in the sky of Thunder Mountain, a place of excessive cold. The presence of people on top or behind the sky. The presence of people on the underside of the earth. This belief may not be held by all the tribes. The existence of rock giants, who dwelt in caves and carried off and devoured people. The tendency of the dead to rise and return to life on the third or fourth day after death. The prevention of the rising of the dead and their return to life by Meadowlark Man, who would not permit immortality. The creation of real people, the ancestors of the present Indians, by the transformation of feathers, sticks, or clay. Of these beliefs, origin from feathers is the most distinctive and widespread, reaching from Fresno Creek north to Clear Lake. The completion and perfection of newly created man by the gift of five fingers from Petale the Lizard Man, who, having five himself, understood their value. So that's it for this episode. As you can see, it's unclear how literally we should take the stories of rock giants when they also had stories about Coyote Man, Lizard Man, and others. But most of their stories were based on real animals that lived in their environment. So it seems possible that giants were another real aspect of their environment, and they were similarly incorporated into the Miwok tales that they would pass down through generations. So what do you think about these stories? Were they just made up, or is there an element of truth that is consistent with the stories told by other Indian tribes? Let us know what you think in the comments, and we will continue to bring you more stories like this on this channel. This channel is called Unworthy History because we cover actual history directly from old books, history that was written down long ago without the corrupting influence of modern society, and without the aid of our modern institutions and their agendas. If you'd like to support our work on this channel, then consider joining our Patreon page or becoming a YouTube channel member. Your contribution will be recognized at the end of each episode, and you will also have access to our members-only videos that we occasionally release. So if you want to see more episodes like this, then be sure to like and subscribe, and we'll see you next time on Unworthy History.